You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Here's a question. Do too many schools rely on gimmicks and sales pitches to attract new students? That's the question raised in a guest column by InBridge magazine by my next guest. Margaret Trimmer Hartley is superintendent of the University Prep Science and Math Academy in Detroit. She's also former head of communications for the Michigan Education Association, and she was the education reporter at the Detroit Free Press. Margaret, welcome to Stateside.
Thank you very much, Cindy.
Margaret, tell us, why do you believe that schools, some schools at least, are selling themselves in what you call silly, superficial ways?
Well, there's a new level of competition in Michigan. Since the charter school cap was lifted last year, a lot of new players have come into the market. And it really is just a scramble to get on the radar, a scramble for attention, which in and of itself is not a bad thing. And so people in the school community are reaching far and wide for new strategies because this really is the first time that the competition has been so intense.
And what kinds of gimmicks and tricks are you referring to?
Well, you see a lot of things, and some of them you can't fault schools for doing it, giving away free uniforms and gift cards and things like that just to give them an edge, give them something to lure folks and make it feel like there's value added. But some things go a little far. The guy who rented an ice cream truck and went neighborhood to neighborhood to recruit kids just sort of, to me, tipped the scale and became a little more along the line of absurd. We see Kindles and giveaways of big things. I even heard, but I have no evidence, that a school was giving away a car. Now, in my view, let's face it, the product here is a good education, and somewhere that has to be front and center beyond some of these other giveaways.
But, and as you say, you said it a bit earlier, you kind of can't fault schools when you've got you have to get bodies and seats for that per pupil funding.
Oh, you absolutely do. No students, no program. And so, you know, we've done things. We've offered parents a bit of a bounty. If you bring us, recommend a student and they enroll and they stay with us past count day, you get $100 or you get a gift card for $25, a Visa card, something like that to stimulate interest within the community and help our own customers, our loyal longtime customers, understand that it's everybody's job to recruit and bring great kids to our system. That's expected. That's understood. I am concerned, however, that many families in our demographic are not choosing schools based on results, based on program, but more often based on where are their friends going, what are the offerings this year, and they're shopping and they're hopping from school to school based on those giveaways and those gimmicks. And that's when it becomes really detrimental to the instructional program and to results.
I'm speaking with Margaret Trimmer Hartley, who's superintendent of the University Prep Science and Math Academy in Detroit, and her guest column in Bridge Magazine entitled Some Schools Sell Themselves in Silly, Superficial Ways. And in your piece, Margaret, you write, and I'll quote, "Thousands of parents keep their children in low-performing and failing schools, particularly in Detroit, while seats in higher-performing schools sit empty." Now, to me, that sounds as though these parents are choosing to do this. But how much of that do you think could be because just getting your child from home to that higher performing school could be impossible if you have to rely on public transportation in Detroit? Lots of luck. So might it be unfair to blame parents?
Oh, it's not about blaming parents at all. It's about educating and providing resources and giving capacity to parents so that choice is actually a fair mechanism in the market. If you don't have families that can transport their children, that can interpret the really complex school data that's out there, and let me tell you, it really does take some sophistication to navigate through the MEAP and the MAP and the growth measures and the Excellent Schools Detroit report card and the state report card because they are rife with contradictions.
Mm-hmm.
One report will say one school is phenomenal. The next report will say it's in the red. It's down at the very bottom. So to understand and interpret requires quite a bit of prep and quite a bit of education. And we have to do a better job of teaching parents how to interpret the tools that are out there.
You raise probably the $64,000 question, if you will, in your piece. And that question is, what makes a school good? In your view, what makes a school good, Margaret?
You need effective leadership. You need principals who are on the ground, in the classrooms, driving quality and rigor and settling for nothing less than that. And you need to interview those principals. When you're looking at a school for your child, you need to say, who's running it? Do I like them? Do we click? And what are their results? How do they treat their staff? Do they have heavy turnover? Is it a revolving door? Or is there a stable, relatively satisfied, happy staff? Collaborative teachers. It kind of feeds right into to the effective leaders. Involved families. If you see that the school you're looking at for your child has no parent organization, has nothing going on in terms of parent education, parent support, parent communication, you might want to look elsewhere, because involved families hold us accountable in the schools. They drive up the expectations. A supportive environment. Teachers ought to be getting lots of training. Some people get upset if there's a half a day because of professional development. You ought to rejoice if your school choice is actually putting teachers in the classroom themselves to learn and stay ahead of the kids. And ambitious instruction. School that you look at for your children should look a whole lot harder, and there should be a lot more homework than there was when some of us were growing up, because Michigan lags behind the nation, and so do many of our schools. So you should see some very high aspirations, and you should see serious goal setting in the program.
So as we kind of contemplate this image of a school principal driving from neighborhood to neighborhood in an ice cream truck trying to lure students to come to his school, what does this say to us about where we are right now in school funding in Michigan?
Oh, it's a scramble, and it's, you know, pitting schools against schools, kids against kids, parents against parents. And if we all had enough to do the job, it would be a little more collaborative in the community as a whole. I fear that it's so intense out there, the competition for dollars is so intense, and it's not just for state funding, it's for grant funding, it's for private funding and foundation dollars. We're all going up against one another, and you find that people tend to hoard their best practices. Why would I share them in the community dialogue if that's going to give you the same edge that I have? And so it's become much more proprietary. And education, you know, it sort of evolved in the mindset of, if you've got something that works and you're willing to share it, I'm going to steal it, because why would we protect those practices that work for kids? We've got a ways to go when it comes to collaborating. Some of us work very closely with others in our community, and we're trying to break down those walls, but it's going to take time, because if I come up 10 students short, I'm going to have to lay off a teacher, and that doesn't work. And so it really is cutthroat.
Margaret Trimmer Hartley, superintendent of the University Prep Science and Math Academy in Detroit. She's also a former head of communications for the Michigan Education Association, and she was an education reporter at the Detroit Free Press. Margaret, thanks for talking with us.
Thank you very much.